Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Lois Roelofs, and I'm just excited about this because every once in a while we talk about careers, and today we're going to talk about the nursing career. And on the information about the nursing career, we're going to carry the human interest story of Lois Roelofs. After reading, eating, and sleeping nursing for nearly 40 years, Lois now schedules her days around having fun, writing creative nonfiction, taking classes of all kinds, going to concerts and plays. Lois is a professor emerita of nursing at Trinity Christian College in Palos Heights, Illinois. Throughout her career, she has held positions in practice, education, research, and administration. She worked in hospitals, an HMO, and a steel mill, and taught in four nursing programs: Prairie State College in Chicago Heights, Illinois, Trinity Christian College in Palos Heights, Illinois, Valparaiso University in Valparaiso, Indiana, and St. Xavier University in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome, Lois, to our show. We are talking today about your book, Caring Lessons, A Nursing Professor's Journey in Faith and Self. Now, after all was said and done, give us a little history leading up to why you wrote this book. A little history or a big history.
I can do that rather short. I have a good nursing friend for over 25 years. We've done a lot of goofy things in our lives. And when I was ready to retire, we were on a telephone call and we said, let's write our nursing stories. What are we going to do when we retire? We had never written one word of creative nonfiction. We were used to charting, as nurses do, writing curriculum. Yes. I was an educator. And once we put our mind to something, we do. So I live in Chicago. She lives in North Carolina. And we met that August, right after I retired in June, and bought notebooks and sat down and wrote, why do I want to write a book? And I have written every word, decision, idea about the book in notebooks since, spiral notebooks. So I have like an account of everything I've done. So we just wrote because one of the things I wrote down was, I'm full of words and they have to come out. Mm-hmm. I was retiring from nursing. I was going to lose my student base. I love students. I love the classroom. I love the clinical. And I thought, before I forget all this, I want to get it down. So that's what I've done. And then we realized we knew nothing about writing. So in our respective cities, we took writing classes, and I went 5 summers to the Iowa Summer Writing Festival and took classes and took some classes locally, worked privately with teachers, and kind of took it as my vocation, my second career. So I've approached it with diligent fun.
Diligent fun.
Yes.
You know, you start out by saying that you didn't want to become a nurse or a teacher. You wanted to be a what?
Stewardess.
Stewardess.
Stewardess, yes. Back in the 50s, that was very alluring and to fly. You know, that was much better. But no, my parents were definitely 50s, teacher or a nurse. That's it. And I didn't want to grade papers like my teacher mother. I had helped her grade plenty. My older sister was a nurse, and that didn't look good to me. But I had to choose between them because those are the only choices I had. And interestingly, I ended up becoming both and absolutely loving my career. Surprised me.
You know, I look at families and often I see families where their parents were teachers, so and then they become teachers and they're generation after generation. Do you think God gives the gift of a certain vocation into a family line?
I would think so, because it is sort of an insidious thing, but you're socialized in the home. You know, I saw my mother as a teacher. My father was a minister. I saw my older siblings. One went into teaching. My brother went into teaching. My sister went into nursing. The next sister went into teaching. So it's kind of all I knew also. So I knew enough about it to know the things I didn't like about it, but also to see the professionalism of the careers. And I think I've been asked, when did you know that you wanted to stay? Because I adamantly didn't want to in the beginning. And it just kind of happened. All of a sudden, I'm one day, okay, here I am. And this is good. And it's okay. But I didn't have like a big aha. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, here I am.
Now, you titled your book, Caring Lessons, and I'd like to send my listeners to your website. What is the website that they can go to?
My website is simply my name. It's my blog, and it's Lois Roelofs, L-O-I-S-R-O-E-L-O-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, .com.
LoisRoelofs.com. Some of our listeners will actually go there right now and look at it and listen to the show at the same time, so it gives them a kind of a picture of what they're... So you titled the book Caring Lessons. Now, was it hard to think of the title, or you knew what the title was going to be the whole time?
No, I would say I maybe had 20 titles from the beginning. And one day, my friend and I, we wrote in tandem for a long time over email, comparing things, meeting in person. And one day we just came up with Caring Lessons, and we didn't know who came up with it. So when my book got finished, she's still finishing hers. It's like, was that your title or was it my title? I asked her, do you mind if I use it? Because it seemed to me to be a title that encompassed what we do as nurses. We care for people, but we care about them. And then as a nurse who's a teacher, of course, I'm teaching lessons and I'm learning lessons. I learn a lot from my students and my patients. So I kind of like the idea, and you know, I knew of other books that had lessons in them, and I thought, I kind of like that word. And of course, I love caring. So
yes, caring.
The theme of caring.
Now, as you look at how your spiritual walk was, did it influence your decisions to become a nurse and ultimately a teacher, a nursing teacher, or vice versa?
I think, again, that was so insidious. I was so unhappy being a nursing student my first summer, and I would literally pray every morning and say, God, help me get through this. I would call home. I could picture my dad in his study, which was in the house, and just plead, may I please quit this? And he said, you just have to stick it out till the end of summer. And I had horrible experiences. You know, you're 18, and I was in a men's ward taking care of older men with all kinds of bladder and bowel problems. And I thought, my friends are at the beach. Here I am, you know, drowning in fluids. And I was really just very unhappy. And my dad kept saying every time I called, just stick it out till the end of August, which was a time of transition in the nursing program from a probationary student. We were called probies. And then we right away hopped to junior year, which was September. And by time September came, it was too late for me to quit and go back to another college. They had already started. And about a third of my class got let go. We came back from class one day, and all these people had just been fired out of school. And I kept thinking, I've wanted to be kicked out. Why didn't you kick me out? So in retrospect, yes, God was certainly mm-hmm. there. But at the time, I thought, you know, why didn't I get kicked out? But I did get a call into the director of nursing's office. And I thought, I'm going to get kicked out after all. And then she just told me I had an attitude problem. She said, your teachers have picked up, you have an attitude problem. And that has served me in very good stead, because when I became a teacher myself, any student that had any kind of attitude problem, I thought, I've got you beat. So
we got to take a break right here. But when we come back, we want to hear more about 18 years old and deciding what to do in life. We'll be right back.
Here's Dr. Rose Gamblin with a Mind Matter Minute.
There's a new approach to learning called inquiry-based. It's not really new, but now researchers understand what Confucius understood years ago. Confucius said, "Tell me and I forget, show me and I remember, involve me and I understand." The fact is, the average person only retains about 5% of what they hear. A simple way to practice inquiry-based learning is to ask these questions: why, what, how, and if. By asking these questions, you've just increased your chances of learning from 5% to 90%. When working with children, use these questions in casual conversation and see how they respond. Don't tell me your mind doesn't matter.
Mind Matter Minute is brought to you by MRG Media Ministry. For more information on topics about learning, go to mrgmediaministry.com. That's mrgmediaministry.com.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Why can't some parents teach their children to be more thoughtful?
Sounds like you've met some kids who are having trouble being nice. Sad, isn't it? While it's true parents have a God-given responsibility to raise their sons and daughters to be Christ-like, some don't, simply because they don't know how to be Christ-like themselves. No one ever taught them. Or maybe some parents work very hard to show their children how to live as Christ lived, helpful, forgiving, always thinking of others first. But the kids refuse to listen. They like being the way they are. Gets them lots of attention. Try this. You be as thoughtful and loving as you can. Let your life be a shining example of goodwill and respect for others. By your actions, you can help teach those kids what they haven't learned at home, or demonstrate that a thoughtful attitude brings much more joy and longer-lasting attention. And never underestimate the power of prayer. Each morning, before you head for school, ask your friend Jesus to give you the strength to be kind, even when others aren't. And plant this Bible text firmly in your thoughts. Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Luke 6:36. You might be surprised by the results. If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
You've been listening to Education Currents. Be sure and like us on our Education Currents Facebook page and consider joining MRG Media in this radio ministry. You can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. We're talking with Lois Roloffs. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yay. And we're talking about the nursing profession in general. We have a lot of young listeners who are deciding what profession should I go into. And when we had gone to break, you had just told us a little bit about 18 years old and hating every moment of that. But you stuck it out so far in our story. Now, when September came, then you decide, okay, I'm going to stick it out one more year. Or did you say, okay, I'm going to go the whole nine yards? What was the decision there?
I think it was just a day-to-day thing, because we had rotations that lasted 3 months about at a time. And when I got called into the director's office, because of my dreadful attitude, I couldn't progress with my classmates, my group, to obstetrical nursing, and I had to stay back on a medical surgical floor to prove my attitude. By this time, I didn't want to get kicked out because of attitude. If I was going to get kicked out, I wanted it to be grades or something. And then I got hooked in, say, with my fellow classmates, and then I finally got to go to OB, and then I could see, if I think back, it was just doing it day by day, thinking, okay, this will only last so long, and then I'll move someplace else. So the summer of my senior year, which was just 2 years later, I got another note in my mailbox in the nursing dorm where we had to be in by 9:30 in those days. Think of that. I got a note in. I thought, oh, I can't be thrown out this late in the program. I'll only have 3 months to go. And the note said, congratulations, you have been selected by the faculty to be a student instructor, which was to help out with the incoming students. And I got such a charge out of that. I thought, whoo, you know, the person with the attitude problem will now be the teacher. And I called home, and you know, I was all ready to just brag about myself. So I must have spruced up my attitude, and I did have a conversation since the book has come out with an instructor that I had in the book who had me as her student with my male bath story that has caused some fun reading. And I said, you know, you were so, I felt so punitive back then. She's now in her high 80s. And she said, well, Lois, you know why we gave you a hard time? Because you were good. She said, we gave difficult patients to the students we thought could handle it, and, you know, we tested you. And I said, you could have fooled me. I really thought you all hated me, and I said, I'm so glad I've got this cleared up now.
Yeah.
Finally.
All these years.
50 years later. I have 50th anniversary next year.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great testimony to students who are looking at the nursing profession. What are some of the pitfalls that they will have to surmount?
I think I taught nursing for half of my career, and compared to other majors in a liberal arts college, it's a very difficult major. I used to joke with my humanities colleagues saying, your students only have to come to class Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. Our students have to be flexible to go to class, then go to the hospital and find out information about their patient and write up a huge kind of care map or care plan that evening and be back on duty in the hospital at 6:30 the next morning. And then maybe the next day back in class and then another clinical day. And I said, we're not only teaching our students the cognitive learning domain, but also the affective, the caring, and the psychomotor. So at any given time, a nurse has to use her head, her heart, and her hands. And my history prof, I said, really, I used to joke with him and say, you can't tell me anybody's been real excited about the Magna Carta was signed in 1215. might have been very exciting then, but our students have to be using all three modes of learning simultaneously, plus learning a huge amount of new terminology in anatomy and physiology and pathophysiology. So it's very challenging, but it's also extremely rewarding when they finally get that Bachelor of Science in Nursing.
Well, and that was my next question. It sounds overwhelming to me. What would be the incentive to becoming a nurse?
Hopefully it would be because they care about people and they're not just doing it because their mother was a nurse or their aunt was a nurse, and that they do it for their own motivation and that they're excited by learning. I just get on fire with learning. I still go to school. I'm going to hit 70 shortly, and I just love being a student, and my students that just grooved on learning, oh good, I get to learn, you know, this today. Yes. So it's difficult, but if they like learning, if they're adequately based in the social and biological sciences, they can do it, and they have to know not to become discouraged, because first it's going to be like 1,000 pieces of unrelated information, and by the time they're in their senior year, it's like, oh, it's all falling into place, this big puzzle. So they just have to know, they have to stick with it.
You know, you look way too young to be nearing 70.
Oh, thank you very much. It's because nursing's such a wonderful career.
That's right.
I could do a lot of running all these years. You know, I kept busy.
Yeah, well, looking back, is there anything you would have changed, looking back to age 18 till this point?
No, There isn't now, and I did have the opportunity. My father lived till he was 90, and my mother till she was 95, and I was able to repeatedly thank them for making me stay. And my dad would just look at me like, I don't believe this. You know, it took a while to get this thank you, but I was very appreciative that my mother wasn't able to finish college. And she went 2 years and became a teacher, but never got the bachelor's. My dad did finish seminary. But that they were that forward-thinking, that they valued education. They pushed this for a female daughter. Their female daughter, I guess I am female. But in my churches that I've gone to and in private friendships, I have very few friends that have PhDs. And they look at me and say, how in the world did you ever do that? And I said, well, my parents just instilled this love of learning and being able to give back, to give service. And if I'm not caring for patients, I can interact with students and help them. I enjoy teaching the professionalism of nursing, that we are a thinking as mm-hmm. well as a doing profession. And now since the book has come out, I'm finding a varied readership from working moms, juggling career and motherhood, returning students, because I went back for I got the diploma to begin with, and then bachelor's, master's, and PhD. And so lay people doing other occupations that still can relate to, okay, here's a restless lady who just has to keep going back to school.
Well, you know, sometimes we think that people are who keep going back to school is just a random act. But don't you think now looking back that God was leading you every step of the way?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because every experience I had dovetailed into the next one. It was like I was prepared everywhere I went. Like not wanting to be a nurse or a teacher, begging my dad to quit. I could relate to every one of my students that yeah. wasn't sure they wanted to be there, that they were having a hard time. I could just say, I know, you know, I've been there. And if you want to try to, you know, one-up me, I can do that. I can do that. Yes. So I somehow got a sense of humor, too, from being the youngest in a parsonage. And I just had a lot of fun with the students, and I had fun evaluations from them. They would say on the written evaluations, we get evaluated, you know, many, many times, and they would say, I like her stories. And I would think, oh, it's got to be a clinical anecdote. Don't write down stories. It'll sound like I'm wasting time. But I had real fun teaching.
Well, this is a great way to end a show about the possible career in nursing. I think that you've shared with us in an honest and forthright manner some of the hesitancy that someone might be feeling right now, as well as the reward at the end. And the reward is probably, most of all, the impact you've had on other young nurses-to-be. Praise God for your testimony. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'd like to remind our listeners again, they can go to your website. That's LoisRoloffs.com.
Correct.
Correct. LoisRoloffs.com. We have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.